In a few moments, our brand new family life minister, Pastor Tandy Adams, is going to share a word with us. And so I'm going to ask her to share in response to a few questions so that she can share with us and you can get a sense of who she is, where she comes from, and what makes her tick. When we met Tandy, when I say we, myself and the board's search team, we were just so blown away and so excited and blessed. If we have your church email, you got an email this week announcing Tandy, and as you know, we had a part-time youth position slotted out and a children's minister position, two part-time positions, and when we met Pastor Tandy, we were so blown away. We said, we want as much of you as you can give us, and so we've put her in Pastor Chris's old position, family life minister in a full-time position, and we're very excited about that. We also were able to announce this week that our new children's minister will be Becky White. Becky will begin this coming week, and so next Sunday during our connection moment, we'll give you a chance to get, I think many of you already know Becky, but give you a chance to get to know her a little bit better. But let's get rolling. Tandy, tell us a little bit, tell us something that helps us to get to know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, first of all, nobody has ever said they wanted more of Tandy, so you may walk that back. We'll see how that works. I am from Texas, lived my whole life in Texas until 3 years ago, and am married. I'm going to guess. I think we're going to hit 30 this year. I'm not good at it, and he can correct me at the next service, but I have a 24-year-old daughter. I have a 21-year-old son who's in Bloomington. And, we're Hoosiers now because we pay them money. So we get to claim to be a Hoosier. Right? I don't care how long we've been here. I came from the Southern Baptist Convention, grew up Southern Baptist, went to Southern Baptist College and Seminary, and half my family's Catholic. So my mom's family's Catholic, immigrated from Italy, and my dad's family were redneck Texans who are Southern Baptists. So I got it all. I think that's why nobody can figure me out.
Tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey. How would you describe your journey in Christ?
Well, I mean, probably, I grew up in church. I grew up going to church, and this was Baptist church, so we'd have to go Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. The only time we didn't have to go on Sunday night is if the Cowboys played. So if the Cowboys had a late game, like a 3 o'clock game, we didn't have to go. That was the only thing that kept us from church. I'm not a Cowboy fan.
Don't take any notes.
You know.
Colts play or not, God expects you to be.
Well, it's Texas. Football is their other religion. I grew up in church. I grew up in youth group. At 14, my dad died from leukemia. And so God and I had an issue for a few years. I was mad at God and, you know, did the teenager things when you're pretty mad at God. People would tell me, oh, God needed another angel in heaven. And I'm like, what? can't he create one? Like, really? God needs another angel? So it was a hard time. But as I got older, 17 or so, we had a new pastor come in and he discipled me and really put me back on the right track with Jesus. And then at 18, a church called me from Mexico. We would never do this today, but this was 1989. A church called me from Mexico and said, you want to come be our youth pastor for the summer? So I graduated high school with my car packed and drove to Mexico for the summer. Barely spoke the language. I mean, you know, I could say taco. But had a great time, and I knew during that summer that's where God had me. That's where God was calling me to. So, And since then, it's been, you know, up and down. You have your moments with God like everybody does. It's normal. And so just, it's been a good journey. It is, even the times that were really, really bad for me, I look back now and see that, how God used those. I'll never say God caused them, but I'll say that I can look back and see how God used those.
Yeah. Tandy has a degree in theology, and then launched into ministry. Tell folks just a little bit about your career path.
Okay. I did leave out that I'm a major, huge Cubs fan, so let's not forget that. I don't know how I forgot that. What did you say? Oh, my career in ministry. So I started at 18, and then I went and got my degree in theology, and worked in Texas Baptist churches, which are under the Southern Baptist umbrella, and there's a whole bunch of, but basically Southern Baptist churches. Texas Baptists are a little bit different because everything's different in Texas. But they're a little more, and I use this loosely, liberal, because they're not, but they would at least have women on staff. And so I would find those churches that would have women on staff. There were some that wouldn't, you know, because if you're teaching 13-year-olds, you're teaching men, so you can't do it. But I would find those churches and kind of, we made our way, we lived in all parts of Texas. We consider ourselves from West Texas, which is important, but we've lived all over Texas. We were in Fort Worth, Dallas. My son was born in Austin, and we've been in big churches and little churches. And so, and then we ended up here.
So I'm sure being a woman in ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention had its challenges, frustrations. Talk about that a little bit. How did you experience that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it's where I came from, it was really all I knew until I started realizing my college, believe it or not, it was Texas Baptist. They had no problem with it. And they were like, yeah, Tandy, go preach. Oh. And then I got out in the real world and realized, wait, not everybody's like that. And so it was a struggle. I learned how to play games as far as if I had a good idea, or if I have a lot of ideas. Some are not good. If I had a good idea, I didn't feel like it was something I could speak out or speak to, so I would go to the man and tell the man, and so he would go tell them, and then, you know, that's, I learned how to play the system in that way, and I became very good at it. You just got to find the right people and know how to do that. And when I came here and I came to the Methodist church, somebody told me after a few weeks, hey, you don't have to do that anymore. You can just say what you want to say. And I thought, well, that's new.
I'm sure growing up, you were taught that being gay or trans would be a sin. How did you turn that corner in your spiritual journey?
Yeah, so that's exactly what you're taught. And really, people don't question it in a way that I think they should. And so my husband, who is much smarter than me and much more articulate when he speaks, he decided that we would take a deep dive into Scripture. And we would just see, what does Scripture say? Because we know what we were told that Scripture said. We've all been told what Scripture says, but we wanted to see it for ourselves, which we really should do about everything. But anyway, so we took a deep dive. Brian translated from the Greek because he's smart. And we read all the all the things people write on both sides. And we did a lot of praying, and by the time we were done, Brian looked at me and said, I think we were wrong. And I'm like, I think we were wrong. And so I tell people I believe what I believe because of Scripture, not in spite of Scripture. Scripture is important to me, and I hold it in very high regard. And so I think that we should really do that with all of our things. We should run it through Scripture and deep dive before we decide if we're right about a subject or not. But.
What caused you and your family to leave West Texas and move to Indianapolis?
Oh, well, after 29 years in the SBC, I had finally had enough. So the church I was in, it's on the border, it was on the border and is still on the border in Texas. The senior pastor left, and when he left, I realized he had been shielding me from a lot. And then the church decided to take a really hard right, and I said, I gotta go. I've stuck it out with you people long enough. And actually ran a Facebook group, social media, but knew a guy who contacted me and said, hey, I know a church in Indianapolis you should apply for, and it was a Methodist church, and I've never been Methodist, but, you know, I could learn it, I'm sure. There are people here who may not agree with me, but I may not have learned it that well. So I interviewed, and 2 weeks later, I packed a Jeep Grand Cherokee with my daughter. We left my son and husband in Texas for a year, and moved to Indy. Like, kind of like I moved to Mexico, just what I do. When God says, go do something, I'm like, well, okay, I'll just go do that.
So Tandy was family life minister at Castleton United Methodist, where she led a youth group of about 40 kids, and also provided oversight and support for a children's ministry of about 60. So she brings all of that experience to us now. Coming from West Texas and being Southern Baptist through the Methodist Church and to here is quite a journey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?
Let's see.
And I've warned her. Tandy had a lot of options when departing from Castleton United Methodist and competing offers, and she chose us. Why did you choose us? What brought you here?
Well, here's what I loved. First of all, it is refreshing to be in a church of people who know who they are. Like, you just get to be who you are. There's no debate, are we going to accept this group or not accept this group, or there's none of that. It's just a church of people who get to be who they are. It's diverse. Yeah. I don't like the clapping thing. That's nice. Yeah.
It's not very Baptist. It's not very Methodist.
Well, I did spend 5 years in the Assembly of God.
Yeah, yep. So, and so did some of these folks. I'm just warning you.
My people. I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, how did I get here? Or why did I choose this? Again, a super diverse crowd. I loved it. I came to a worship service a few weeks ago and sat in the back and observed, and everything I saw seemed like everything came from a place of love and acceptance. And I'm just ready to be somewhere where there's no, like, are we going to do this or accept this, or just, I just want to show people Jesus and move on. You know, I don't want it to be there to be those other issues around it. So.
Yeah. We do, however, welcome St. Louis Cardinal fans. Is that okay? I walked in this week with my St. Louis Cardinals baseball cap that I stole from a kid, you know, that left it. You remember that story? And, you know, I'm oblivious to it. First thing I walked in, she said, St. Louis Cardinals! And I'm like...
I do have my Cubs tat up here after we finally won the World Series. I got my tattoo, so, yeah. I got quite a few. But.
Acceptance has its limits, right? last question, and then I'll get out of the way. Tell us, why are you so passionate about children and youth ministry? And what are some of your dreams and passions for youth, children, and parents here at Life Journey?
Well, I am a... One generation can change the world. One generation. And so if we can invest our time in the next generation, if we can show them Jesus, if we can disciple them, if we can do those things, they'll change the world. I mean, they're going to change the world anyway, but they'll change it for the good. The gospel will continue. The kingdom of God will benefit when we focus on teenagers and youth. And I feel like I'm 23 in my head, even though I'm not. So there's that. What I would love to see for families is I'm a am a big believer that family worship, that intergenerational worship, that kids worshiping with parents, working alongside adults, builds the body of Christ. Because children and youth, they don't have a junior Holy Spirit. Like, it's the same Holy Spirit who gives us the same gifts. And when we allow children and teenagers to be part of the body and use their gifts with adults, not just in youth group, then we keep them. You know, we all know, we've heard the stats, oh, they graduate and they go and they leave the church. Well, that's because we haven't taught them how to be part of a body. We haven't done that. We've put them away over in youth group, stuck them there, and then said, go. And then they go to the next church and they have to go to, you know, big church. They don't know what to do because they've never been part of it. So we call it keychain leadership. We give the teenagers and the children keys to the church. Will you give them those leadership positions? And that's what I would like to see. But. Yeah.
So I'm going to step off, and Pastor Tandy's going to preach to us today. So welcome her again. Here we go.
So yeah, he said, do you want to sit down? I thought, are you crazy? I can't sit. I'm a little bit, I move around a lot. So before we start, can we pray? Is that cool with y'all? All right. Jesus, for this time and this place and this space and these people, we are truly grateful. God, we ask that as we go through these next few minutes with this little talk, that your Spirit move and teach and convict and show grace and love and mercy. Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray, amen. So I'm a big believer in starting with a scripture and a prayer. That way, if everything else is terrible, at least you got scripture and a prayer. So at least you'll leave with that one. So I came from West Texas, close to El Paso. When I say close, I mean 3 hours from El Paso. That was the closest Walmart, Target, I mean, you know, anything like that. So we moved up here. Also, one reason I came to Indianapolis, 3 hours to Chicago. So we moved up here, and we're driving, I think it's 465, I get all those confused. And there's this big thing called IKEA. Well, I knew it existed, like I'd seen it on the internet, but I'd never really been to one. And so I said, we have to go to IKEA, I need to see this whole thing. And my husband goes, yeah, something about meatballs, which... A furniture store that cooks meatballs? I don't know. Seems a little weird to me. But so we walk into IKEA. And how many of you been to IKEA? Yeah, probably everybody in here. Y'all probably love the place. You walk into IKEA and there's arrows on the ground. And I said, what are those? And Brian and Taylor, my daughter who's older, they were like, Mom, you follow the arrows to get through the store. Well, I only wanted a bookshelf. Like, I only came for a bookshelf. And so I said, that's a marketing technique. They want you to go through the whole store so you'll think, oh, I need a new bed, when you don't need a new bed. I said, plus, who is IKEA to tell me where to go? Like, really? You think I'm going to listen to IKEA? No, I didn't. So as I'm, you know, saying all this, they're rolling their eyes and following the arrows. So I went this way, and there were no arrows that way, but I thought, how hard could it be to find a bookshelf? An hour and a half later, I'm curled up in a fetal position on a bed on the phone. Brian, I'm lost in IKEA. I can't get out. I'm sort of a rebel. Like, I don't rules, you know, IKEA is not going to tell me which way to go. They're just not. Today's reading came from 1 Peter, and what I like about Peter is I feel him in my soul. Peter's the guy, when we think back to the disciples, he was always, you know, cut off the guard's ear. Yeah, that was Peter. Denied Jesus. Yeah, that was Peter. He seemed to be the rebel of the crowd. And so I relate to him a lot. At this point, though, in Scripture, when we get to 1 Peter, his letters, he's writing letters to churches under persecution. And so he's trying to encourage them to still live for Jesus, even under persecution. Today, when we talk about the Imago Dei, what it means is the image of God. That's what Imago Dei means. It means the image of God. So think about this. There's persecution going on, and Peter's having to write letters to encourage churches, and he says in the middle of this, hey, don't forget who you are. Even though the bad things are happening to you, that doesn't define you. And don't forget who you are. I mean, that's my paraphrase. That isn't, you know, what Scripture says. I think I'm supposed to use this. Hang on. Oh, huh, see? Huh, I am. So this is what I want you to do. I like activities. I like active learning. So if you have your cell phone, I want you to pull it out. I know, don't bring your cell phone to church, but we know that most people do. So I want you to pull it out, and I want you to take a selfie. You may not have ever taken one before, but take a selfie. Yeah, you can do them together. You can put, you know, a couple people in them if you want. Everybody take a selfie. Okay, and later... You can do it right now, or you can do it later today. But I want you to post it on whatever social media you use. I don't know, the TikTok. I don't think you can put it on TikTok. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't know, whatever else is out there. And I want you to hashtag it, Imago Dei and Life Journey. And we'll get back to your picture at the end of my little talk. So, got it? Imago Dei, Life Journey. So let's get back to Peter, and let's get back to what he's talking about in these verses. So I believe Peter lays out quite a few things, but I'm only going to hit y'all with three about what it means to remember who we are. See, when we talk about Imago Dei, it's not just the image of Jesus, but it's Jesus inside of us. And so I want us to look at three things I think Peter lays out in maybe his way. Aha. The first thing, this is the Message Eugene Peterson's version of the verses 9 and 10, kind of cut and pasted here. But you are the ones chosen by God, but this is what I like, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So think about the time. Who played baseball as a kid? Well, wait, Indiana. Who played basketball as a kid? Okay, I'm sure it works the same way on pickup teams or whatever. You, like, pick your team, and is that how that works? Okay, so do you remember picking teams? Does anybody remember being the last person picked? You don't have to admit to that. You don't have to admit to it. Do you remember being the first person picked? Some of you are like, no way, never was I picked first. Never. How does that feel? Think through that. So say if you're the first person picked, how do you feel? You feel accepted. You feel part of that. If you're the last person picked. But see, Peter says, we come from nothing to something. So even if you feel like you're the last person picked, you come from nothing to something. And that something is that you are accepted by the God who created you. Just like you are. Like, to this blue, I mean, it probably should not have taken me this far in life to for this concept to really blow my mind, but just like you are. So you don't have to do anything, or you don't have to not do something. You're still accepted just as you are. Like, God made you just like he wanted to make you and me. But we worry a lot about acceptance. We worry a lot about what other people think. Even if we don't admit it, like, I like to pretend I don't care. I like to pretend that I'm the, you know, everybody's wearing red, I'm going to wear black person. But we all need this feeling of acceptance. And so as we remember that we are the image of God, that we carry the Imago Dei, we carry the Spirit of God. See, God didn't give that image to everything. He didn't give it to the animals. If you go back to Genesis, the Spirit of God came to people. We carry that, which makes us perfect and accepted just as we are. Sorry. I'm going to number two. All right. valued. So what makes something valuable? Any ideas? Well, yeah, you can just shout out. It's fun.
Rare,
worth,
demand.
Memory? Yeah, that's a good one.
Sentiment.
Yes. Well, a couple things make things valuable. One is who created it. So, you know, if Monet creates a painting, it's valuable because Monet created it. Or it's who owned it. So if I have a baseball that, you know, Babe Ruth owned, a baseball in itself isn't valuable, but that one has value. We know from 1 Corinthians that we have been bought and paid for by Christ, so we belong to him. That gives us value. That gives us worth in the eyes of God because we belong to him. For no other reason do you have value. You don't have value because you, you know, pray every night and read your Bible every day and do all the things, come to church and come to Sunday school. You don't have value because of that. You have value because you've been paid for by Christ and you belong to Jesus. That's your value. That's where it comes from. Number three, forgiven. If we go to the end of this this little passage, it says you did not have mercy and now you have received God's mercy. If you remember nothing else, that's what the Imago Dei is about. Now we've received God's mercy. The God of grace, the God of mercy, the God who created us, we receive that and we reflect who God is. We carry the image of God through that. Okay, so I want you to pull out the picture you took on your phone again. I want you to think about it as you look, just look at it, as you look at your picture, what's the first thing you think when you see it? First thing I always think is there's some wrinkles and gray hair. But what's the first thing you think when you see it? The first thing we think when we see it? The first thing we think when we look in a mirror shouldn't be the wrinkles and the gray hair. It should be that I am in the image of God. And I'm good enough. Was it Stuart Smalley? Saturday Night Live. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. And doggone it, people like me. That's what we should see when we look at ourselves. So I am done. Look, my last. I was really concerned because talking, using slides, and moving around, 50-50 chance it's not going to end well. But I'm still standing. Yes, I should get claps for standing. But I appreciate you guys letting me share with you. I appreciate you letting me come be part of your family here at the church. And I can't wait to meet all of you. And if I don't remember your name, it's going to take me a while. I'm old, my memory doesn't work. So you might have to remind me a few times. But thank you for having me, and can't wait to get on board with you.